Turn with me, if you would, this evening to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I think because I had mentioned how the Frasers had intimidated me when they were watching online, I think that's why my father-in-law just texted me saying that him and my mother-in-law are watching as well. See if maybe they can trump that, all right? If I have any illustrations about them, I might just have to remove it for us. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. We actually only have a few more sermons in this series, and then in a few weeks, we're going to be going through Baptist distinctives and really say why. Well, I think it's important that we're going to understand why it is that our church sign says Spring Hill Baptist Church. And so I'm sure many of you would know why we're Baptist, what these are, but we're going to be going through that series here in just a few weeks, I think even before this month is over. But we are in Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we're looking at faith and choosing right, not easy. It's not always, as you would understand, it isn't always the easy answer to do what is right. This week, perhaps more than ever, we will see what it means when in Hebrews chapter 11, and we began when it said, the evidence of things hoped for. We're going to see what that means perhaps better today than any other point. Of future blessings after death. So we are in Hebrews chapter 11. Follow along with me as we read, starting in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as having seen him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. In case you can't tell, tonight we are looking at Moses and a couple names that aren't even mentioned. We'll get there in a little bit. But we're looking at a faith that was choosing what was right, not easy. There was a police exam that read this: you are on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in the nearby street. On investigation, you find that a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there's an overturned van lying nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, a man and a woman, are injured. You recognize the woman as the wife of your divisional inspector, who is at present away in the USA. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance, and you realize that he is a man who is wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, a man runs out of a nearby house, shouting that his wife is expecting a baby and that the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Another man is crying for help, having been blown into an adjacent canal by the explosion, and he cannot swim. Bearing in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act, describe in a few words what actions you would take. The officer thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." I see an applause there, all right. You know, it's humorous, but you know, when we look at this, sometimes in life we are faced with some very difficult decisions. Some very difficult situations, or perhaps you've been sitting there and go, "This is impossible. There's no right answer, or how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to move forward in life? How am I going to deal with this diagnosis? How am I going to live without my mother? How am I going to face this? How am I going to get by? How am I going to provide for my family when I've lost my job?" Sometimes we are faced with some very difficult questions. And what we have to ask is, how are we going to handle this in a way that shows we still have faith in God? It's not always easy. I wish I could come here today and tell you that as a Christian, from here forward, things will be easy. I wish I can tell you that once you're saved, it's going to be a life of chocolate bunnies and flowers. But that would be a lie. Life isn't always easy. there are some real trials and real hardships. If we would go through today and ask, what have you gone through in your life? I bet there'd be a lot of tears. Remember, as our readers of this text, they are facing some intense persecution. And it's going to come and continue to come. And perhaps at some point, or perhaps even they're struggling with it, there was a realization that life would be easier if we just abandoned the faith and lived as the Romans do. Perhaps life would be easier if we said, I've had enough of this, I'm going to go live this way. Because then I don't face the persecution. Because then I don't face the attacks. Because then I'm not ostracized. It would be easier to live like this. Simon Foley Love, he said, let's remind ourselves for the reasons behind this great chapter. We've been considering Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who, like us, had never seen or heard Jesus themselves. After initial progress, it seems that they had stopped making progress and seemed to be slipping back into Judaism. Being a Christian in the Roman world was harder than being Jewish, which enjoyed certain privileges. Since their conversion, they had been exposed to persecution, public abuse, imprisonment, looting of their property, but as they had not yet been called upon to die for their faith, so their faith was being put to the test. Friends, it's still true today. Our faith is on trial, and we are put to the test. And so I propose to us today that faith will keep trusting God in difficult circumstances. Faith will trust God in difficult circumstances. If you were with us last week, we'll review a little bit, and perhaps you hadn't heard the message from last week. Last week, we looked at what it means to share our faith with the next generation. We looked at with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. We went down through the line and saw how their faith impacted their kids and the next generation and the next generation. And sharing faith from parent to child. Today, we're going to see this played out one more time. We're going to look first at a resolution of faith. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 23. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, oh, we'll get there in a little bit. Let's stop at 23. We see the parents, and the reality of the situation is, we could go back today to Exodus chapter 1 and verses 6 through 12, and really we see the situation at hand. Here is a people of Israel. They are in the land, they are in Egypt, they are not in the promised land, they are in Egypt. If you remember the story, Joseph, he's in Egypt, God had brought him there, and the whole family's there, and now they have become numerous. So many, and the king, the Pharaoh, has made this edict that all these boys, all these children are going to be killed. These Jewish kids that are young, babies and infants, and perhaps even as high as 2 years old. And this cruel king, you see, it's a difficult choice. The moms were supposed to report if there was a boy. The midwives delivering were supposed to report if there was a boy. And here's this cruel king. And now we're in Hebrews, and if we would see the story in Exodus, and now we're seeing in Hebrews, we see the faith of Moses' parents. And we see the courageous parents. Their names aren't listed here, Amram and Jochebed. It's doubtful that you probably go around home remembering these names. It's doubtful you've ever met a kid with one of these names. And yet, here they are, although they're not mentioned by name, they are talked about in verse 23 when it talks of Moses' parents by faith when he was born, hid him for 3 months. In spite of the threats of the king. In spite of all of this, they had faith and trusted God. And we go, why do they do this? Well, several things we see. If we look back in 23, the first thing we see is he was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. Now, don't leave here thinking, oh, does that mean if their child was ugly, they would have put him to death? Well, no. If that was the case, a lot of us in here might have died early. All right? Not me, of course. No, it doesn't mean beauty in the sense of good looking. There's really the idea here when it says his beauty, it's talking about he's proper or exceeding fair. The mom and dad, they looked at him, they saw him, they had him there for a little while, and they realized there is something special about this child. Something that God is doing and going to use this child in a special way. He is different. He is not like other children. And so they could look at him and they could see and tell, just even as a young child, as this baby, that he was somebody who was going to be used of God. But yet mom and dad had a decision to make. Mom and dad had to sit there and go, what are we going to do? Here's a child that's clearly something different. That's clearly somebody special. And they looked at him and it said again in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, his parents hid him for 3 months. And not only because they saw something in him, and it says they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses' parents knew there was something special about him. And so they placed their faith in God to use this child in spite of the king's orders. In spite of what he is attempting to do, they had a faith in what God would do through Moses. Parents, that's not always easy. To trust God in our children and what he's going to do with them. But we also see, not only that, we notice that they had an environment of faith. They hid him for 3 months. They were not afraid of the king's edict. They had an environment of faith where faith starts at the home. We can support this in a little bit when we go through the next several verses, and we're going to see the choices that Moses makes as a reflection on what he had learned at home and Saul and his parents. There is an environment of faith. Faith starts at home. Pastors and churches have some influence. I am so grateful for those who work in our kids' programs, who work in our CEF and Good News Club. But I'm going to tell you, none of them are a replacement for mom and dad. Mom and dad is the best place to disciple and train up our kids. It is what God has ordained. Schools have influence. Pastors and churches have influence. But nothing beats the home. And so we see the courageous parents, Amram and Jochebed. But notice that this life, this is a life and death scenario. As the king, the Pharaoh, has issued this edict, the parents were certainly, for their insubordination, would be faced and charged with death if they were found out. That they were disobeying and hiding the son. The parents are faced with death. They hid Moses, not out of fear, but out of faith. Not out of fear of the king and his edict, they had faith. But even in their faith, they are still wise. If we'd go back to our story again today, we would see how they handled the situation, the choices that they made. They used human wisdom and how to handle the situation. I want to share with you today that faith does not say that we avoid logic. Faith does not say that there is no wisdom. I'll give you an example. Perhaps even the Frasers can relate to this. I'm not sure. When we were on our way to Africa, when we were studying and training to go to Africa, we were always taught this, and the missions boards would tell us this, you always have an escape plan. And here's the reason. They say that Africans are a lot like 2 and 3-year-olds. You had a 2 and 3-year-old, you've seen them. When they're happy, everybody's happy. But when they're not happy, there's a tantrum, and it's a mess. Trust me, I have a 3-year-old, okay? It's the same way when we were heading to Africa, we had to understand, to know that while we had faith that God would protect us, while we had faith in knowing that he had a special plan for us there, we also had to know, how do we get out of the country? What is the plan? Where do we go? Who do we call? What do we do in case of an emergency? Faith, and yes, it is placed in God, but it doesn't say there is no wisdom. It doesn't say we don't act. Moses' parents trusted God in the details of the life of their child. Whether that was in protecting him, raising him, or being willing to sacrifice for him. If you know the story tells us that Moses' mother took him and put him in this basket and sent him down the river. And yet, when we see here in Hebrews, while in Exodus it only mentions his mom, in Hebrews it tells us by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Mom and dad were involved. They were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to lose everything. And we have the same responsibilities with our kids today. Friends, even if we work in the church and we're working with kids, we have the same responsibilities to our kids to train them up, to raise them in such a way that they will trust God with the details of their life. Direct them to Christ. Trust in God's protection and be willing to let your children go in service to the Lord. That isn't always easy, to allow the children to leave. But I also want us to notice the faith that faith acts. Moses' parents did not just sit idly by and waiting to see what would happen. They didn't just sit and go, okay, we're hiding him, let's see what happens. They had a plan, and they ultimately put him in this basket and sent him down river. Now, that might sound a little odd in our day and age. Why would they do this? But his parents acted. In faith, they acted. They had faith in God in regard to their son Moses, and they acted upon that faith. It is the old saying that if you have faith that is going to rain, what should you bring with you? An umbrella. They had faith, but it's not faith that sits idly by. It's faith in action. God can use ordinary people to accomplish big things. We think about what happens with Moses and his brother and his sister. What happens because of the faith of these two parents. Their faith had such a huge impact on the Jewish nation, on the Israelites. We have Moses who's there and God uses him to lead them out of Israel. We have Aaron, the first priest. We have Miriam and all she did and the songs. Faith will cause us to act, and there is such a responsibility on parents. And so the first thing we saw as we look through today, let me get my notes back here, we saw the resolution of faith. Mom and dad who resolved in spite of all circumstances, they were going to serve God faithfully. The second thing I want us to see is a refusal of faith. You're going to say, what do you mean? Well, I'll get to it in a minute, but the refusal of faith. Look at verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. We see the refusal of faith. Moses is now going to take what his parents had, what they had instilled at home, and he's going to take it in the real world, and he's going to refuse to live a certain life. And he's going to do this out of faith. Moses refuses the Egyptian life as a result of his faith. Can you imagine what all he had to give up? The pleasures of sin, it tells us that he gave up. He gave up all of this. More than just lust, it is what the world would call success. He gave up what everybody would say is a life of success, of fulfillment, of luxury perhaps. And instead, Moses is going to identify with God's suffering people. Can you picture all that he gave up? Here he is, and the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He probably has anything he could possibly desire. He has the best of everything. He's probably eating that filet mignon. And he gives it up to identify with slaves. He gives it up to identify with a people who are in a horrible situation. He gives it up to identify with a God whose people are being beaten and treated horribly. And how does he do this? How does he do all this? Was it just a refusal of position? No, it's a change of his identity. He is saying, I am not going to be identified as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. If you see in verse 24, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's saying, I'm changing my identity. But when we are Christians, there is a change of identity. We are no longer a child of this world. We are a child of God. It's not something we should be ashamed of. It's not something that we should bristle at and try to hide who it is we are. We have a new identity. Moses is sitting there going, you know what? By faith, I'm going to refuse my identity. I'm going to refuse these luxuries. It's been told that sin is pleasurable for a season, but it is only temporary. His identification is spiritual. It's not national. It is with a people of God. It is not necessarily with Israel. It would have been a sin for him to live as an Egyptian. You say, how do you know that? Turn with me just briefly to the book of Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, look at verse 25. Just for a minute, we'll be right back in Hebrews. In Acts 7, 25 tells us, we have Moses. If you go back to 23, when he was 40 years old, and he had struck down the Egyptian. Look at verse 25. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the day following, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other? And if we keep going, what we go to find out was that Moses, he would have looked at it and said that it would have been a sin for him to live as the Egyptians. He identified, he said, I am a people of Israel. He was willing to die for them. He already knew his purpose. He already knew what he was called to do. He already knew what God would have him to do. And so when he was 40 years old, he turns away from his royalty. He turns away from Pharaoh's court to serve the one and true living God. Moses could have been the one who was leading men of Egypt and a possible candidate for the throne of Egypt. However, by faith, Moses rejects personal prestige, splendor, and human glory, and became to understand that the one thing in life that was worth living for, the one thing that would bring contentment, and it was a commitment and service to God. And he went, and we see in Acts, and he goes and intervenes in this situation. He already understood what his call was, what he was supposed to do. Moses had to turn from all of this to follow God. And today, we too need to turn from the luxuries, from the pleasures of this world, and serve Christ. It doesn't mean we don't have nice things. It doesn't mean that we can't do nice things and enjoy these. But it also means that our commitment is to Christ. Our commitment is to the Lord over anything else. Are we willing to lose jobs? Are we willing to give up everything for the Lord? I believe Moses' decision is an important one for us to understand. Moses chose people over things. He chose people over selfish desires. The late Pastor Sears, my pastor, he would often say this, people over programs. We can do a lot at church. We can have a lot going on, but we need to invest in people. Moses understood this, that there was a lot that he could have been doing, there was a lot that could have been happening, but he chose the people of the Lord. He could have had a great name. We too can make a great name for ourselves, but we must prioritize ministering to people, to reaching the lost, to reach those who are hurting, to reach those who are rejected, to reach those who are needing the love of Christ. And so we see the refusal of faith. See our third point tonight. I want us to see the reproach of faith. Look at verse 26, at least the first part of it. It says, he, being Moses, considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He considered the reproach of Christ. He considered the shame, the mockery, how people treated him and acted to him. He considered all of this to be greater than all of the wealth that could be found in Egypt. It amazes me, one thing, a word that we've learned perhaps in the last year or two that I don't know if it existed prior, cancel culture. Cancel culture in our world today amazes me. It's as I watch it, what happens, you'll have so many people, they'll follow a celebrity. They love the celebrity. They'll do like everything. They'll dress like them. Today, Gavin, he's in this kick with his hair right now. He really wants to have some cool looking hair. And so we finally convinced him that he didn't need a mullet anymore, and he didn't need a big Bob Ross perm. And so he got a haircut yesterday. Well, now he's looking online, and he's trying to find a hairstyle that he really likes. And he came to me today with a picture of a man you might have heard, or maybe a child you might want to call him, Justin Bieber. Okay? He has no clue who Justin Bieber is. But he just saw a picture of this guy, and he's like, "Dad, I like his hair." You know, at times we follow somebody, we're infatuated with them, we like their hair, we like their jokes, we like their movies, and we follow them. There was other celebrities and friends, they would follow them, and they would have masses of followings. Well-known people who liked others, and they were close friends and supporters, when all of a sudden that celebrity does something that the masses hate. And guess where all of those friends and supporters go? They disappear. They're nowhere to be found. They distance themselves from the individual. It's kind of like today as we consider Easter and we consider Christ, when Christ, as he's going, he's heading to the cross and he's under the trial. And you remember Peter. And Peter, what does he do? He denies Christ three times. He says, "No, I don't know him. No, I'm not one of those disciples. I'm not one of his followers. No, it's not me. Stop saying this." When the reproach of Christ, when all of this is put on Peter, he rejects and says, "No, I don't know him." Thankfully, we know that Peter, his life gets turned around, and we don't see that that's true of him anymore. But Moses isn't like this. Moses, we see it said there, as we looked in verse 25. Am I getting wrong? It's 26. We'll get there eventually. He says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He considered the reproach. He wouldn't have known him, but perhaps by the name Christ, he would have known him as the Messiah. The promised Messiah, the one who was said to come. And he looked at it and he said, "I consider this better than everything I have." Moses, he looked, he left, and he never looked back. Moses was willing to be identified with the reproach of the Messiah. Moses was willing to live as slaves with the people of God. Not only did Moses leave for a people, but Moses left the life he had to live because he wanted to live for the Messiah. He said, "It's greater. It's greater than any riches this world has to offer." He followed God's program. He follows God's deliverance, and he follows God's way. Once said it this way, "It is more important to suffer with Christ and his people than to have the riches of this world." I ask us, can we move forward knowing what all we will be missing? Can we move forward knowing everything that we are giving up? I bet if we went and we talked with our friends, the Fraziers here today, there's a lot they can tell us that they had to give up when they moved. I think I heard even earlier this morning about the store. Correct me if I'm wrong, I heard about, did you say you don't have hot water? Did I hear that? It's always cold, is that what it was? Always cold. The things that we're willing to give up to serve the Lord. It can be hard. It can be hard when we're willing to allow our children to leave the home. It can be hard when a child says, "I want to go and serve somewhere else. On a foreign field, the Lord is calling me." It can be hard when we realize we're missing some fun times. We're missing some enjoyment of our friends and what they're doing when we're sitting there going, "I can't do this." Moses said that this is a greater reward. It is worth more to serve the Lord. Can we move forward like Moses? Can we sit there and say that Christ has something better for us? And I want us to finish our last point. When Moses and his parents, they were both the same way. They didn't fear the king. It was okay to lose everything. And the reason for this, why they can handle the reproach of faith, why they can have the refusal of faith to refuse things, why they can be resolved in their faith to serve God, is because of a promise of rewards. There is a reward of faith. We've read the first half of verse 26, but look at the second half. It says, "For he," being Moses, "was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea, and as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." There is a reward for faith. Or rather than the rewards of Egypt, Moses, who could have been part of the royal court. Egypt was perhaps at that time the most powerful kingdom, maybe even the most powerful that had been known to date, and he was willing to give it all up. He would have had anything he wanted. One commentator, he said, the treasures of Egypt were considerable. The wealth and opulence of the 18th dynasty is well known from the remains of tombs and temples. The fabulous treasures discovered in the tomb of Tutankhamun, a later pharaoh in this dynasty, speak eloquently of the luxuries available to royalty in Egypt. And Moses can look at all of this and say, I can give this all up. I can handle the reproach of the Messiah because I'm looking for a greater reward. Hebrews, it's all about greater. And it's saying there's a greater reward when your faith is placed in Christ. And Moses is looking for this. It literally means when it says he had respect, it literally means that he was looking away from. He was looking towards the reward. He was looking away from what Egypt had to offer. During World War II, Winston Churchill was forced to make a painful choice. The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code and informed Churchill that the Germans were going to bomb Coventry. He had two alternatives. One, evacuate the citizens and save hundreds of lives at the expense of indicating to the Germans that the code was broken. Or two, he could take no action, which would kill hundreds, but keep the information flowing and possibly save many more lives. Churchill had to choose, and he followed the second course. He took a long-term view of things. We can argue all day long whether what he did was right or wrong, but in a similar fashion, Moses looked long-term. He looked and said, I have all of this now, but I am looking for something greater. I am looking for something eternal. I am looking for something that will never perish. And so by faith, in verse 27, it says he left Egypt. Once again, we notice that this is a life and death situation. If we're Exodus 2, 14 through 15, it tells us that he feared. But yet here in Hebrews, it says that he did not fear. He didn't fear. He did fear what would happen, but his fear did not drive him to leave. He left because he had already decided in his heart who he served and who he identified with. Moses knew his purpose, and out of wisdom, he flees. He knew what God had called him to do, his faith and action. By faith, we see that he kept the Passover, another life and death situation where they was told, you're going to sprinkle the blood on these doorposts as the destroyer, it tells us, of the firstborn might not touch them. That took faith to put that blood on and say, that's going to be enough. That's going to save my family. It took faith when God brings them out of Egypt. We come to the Red Sea, a life and death situation. If you know the terrain, they're surrounded by mountains around. They have the sea before them. They have the Egyptians chasing after them. They are trapped. And yet they had faith and they crossed that sea. They crossed on dry land. I'm sure we can all have a picture in our head what this might have been like. I can just imagine looking and seeing and saying, this is impossible. And yet, by faith, they cross a life and death situation, and they chose to believe God would deliver them. God delivered them from their enemies' hands. In all of these, Moses and even Moses' parents, they place the most difficult situations into the hand of God. When we look back at verses 26 and 27, when it said that he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than all the treasures of the earth, he was looking to reward. We see it says, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, perhaps better than any other one we saw, we see this illustration that he had a substance of things hoped for, an evidence of things not seen. Moses had everything. Everything at his hands. Everything he could possibly want, and it said he lived for something greater. Moses, he had every reason to fear, and yet he had faith in a God that he had never met. What an example for us. Moses had it all. He was able to put everything he could and put it away for the faith. He was even willing to lose his life. Adrian Rogers tells a story about the man who bragged that he had cut off the tail of a man-eating lion with his pocket knife. Asked why he hadn't cut off the lion's head, the man replied, "Somebody had already done that." What about you in your life? When was the last time you stepped out in faith? When was the last time you did something and put your faith in God when it was an impossible situation? When was the last time you did something where you said, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm trusting God in all of this? When was the last time you said, I am willing to lose this friend because God has laid it on my heart to go tell them about the Lord? When was the last time that we did any of this? We'd rejoice when we hear of others doing it. But when was the last time you did it? Perhaps a challenge for us. Sooner or later, faith will mean that you have to do something that will challenge you. Something that is different. Even if it's just speaking to someone about Jesus, or becoming a Christian, or tithing, giving to missions, maybe going to the foreign field. What will you do to get out of your comfort zone? Life is not always going to be easy, and sometimes the easy way is not the right way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the faith of Moses and his parents, Lord, who demonstrated that while faith isn't always easy, it is the right thing. Lord, it's not easy to trust you in times with a cancer diagnosis. It's not easy to trust you when our loved ones, our children, perhaps, are going to another country to serve. Lord, it's not easy to give up luxuries, to lose friends or jobs. But Lord, easy isn't always right. And so we trust you that we'd have faith to know when to act, when to move forward, when to give everything over to you. Lord, I pray for our church at Spring Hill. Lord, I believe in this country there are dark days coming. I believe that persecution is around the corner and rules and regulations that will be placed against us. Lord, may we be willing to put your word, to put serving you as priority, even if it means we lose everything we have, because a life that is serving you is of greater reward than whatever this world has to offer. Thank you for your word. Thank you for time we could spend together. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff, lead us in a song of invitation.
Song we sang this morning to end the service, we'll sing again tonight, softly and tenderly. Let's all stand, please.